Welcome to Storytelling with a Purpose, a Memory Facts production. We are calling all nonprofit marketers to tell us their journey, their story, give us a behind-the-scenes look into what makes them tick, what they do every day, and give us all some advice that will make our lives a whole lot easier. My name is Celine Crozan, and I will be taking you behind the scenes with some of your favorite mission-minded leaders, nonprofit marketers, and those who just want to make the world a whole lot better place. Tune in to each episode to hear a great story. Today, we are joined by the wonderful, amazing, and inspirational Dr. Kim Clay. So Dr. Kim S. Clay is founder and CEO of Play Like a Girl, a Nashville-based nonprofit organization working to level the playing fields for girls by leveraging skills gained from sports to propel young women into male-dominated careers in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, as we all know it, STEM. Dr. Kim began her career in public health at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, where she saw the gender gap in education and health firsthand while working in underserved communities across the South. This led her to establish Play Like a Girl during her doctoral studies in 2004 before stepping into her current role full-time in 2010. Since then, she has expanded the organization to what it is today, reaching more than 25,000 girls and young women across the United States and Canada, as well as in Africa and the Caribbean. So, wow, unbelievable. Thank you for being here. I'm so thrilled to be chatting today. Thank
you. When you read our mission, like, that made me excited because I think I need that shot in the arm, you know, the refresher, the reminder every now and then about, you know, what it is we do, why we do it. And, you know, again, just hearing those words, you know, using sport and the skills gained to propel girls into STEM careers, those competitive male dominated careers where we're more likely to earn a higher wage. That's exciting work to me.
And celebrating that competitive attitude. Like, when I was perusing your website, you can tell how beautiful and how you live your brand and how much you are personally connected to it. It breathes into everything you do.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So can you start off telling me a little bit more? So what a wonderful journey to get to Play Like a Girl. So how did that come about? How were you inspired to get there? And how did it tie into your purpose?
Yeah, I often say, you know, when asked the origin story, that it was not purposeful. It was not intentional. I didn't set out to start a nonprofit. In fact, I happened to be married to a physician who was in training at the time, finishing up medical school, and you know, in my career at CDC, making some decisions about what I wanted to do ultimately, and decided to go back and pursue my PhD. And once I got there and started doing more, you know, really centralized work around cancer prevention and control, which is my major area of research, I realized that all roads lead, you know, back to physical inactivity and overweight and obesity, many cases, you know, in terms of chronic disease and, you know, ultimately death. And it, especially in the South and for people of color and for women. Honestly, it was that work that really opened the door for Play Like a Girl to be birthed. And it was birthed specifically through a classroom project that kind of created a life of its own. It lived beyond that classroom project. And honestly, I said in the early years, held me hostage to Play Like a Girl, because I went on, you know, to continue my career as an NIH National Cancer Institute funded researcher. Became a university professor at Georgia. And somehow Play Like a Girl 6 years later was still around and thriving and growing on the shoulders of volunteers, women volunteers who were committed to changing, you know, the way we do health in the South. And that's honestly how we got our start.
I love that you just said it, the mission, the purpose, it felt like it held you hostage. Like, isn't that funny? Isn't that when we find something that matters and that we need to be doing, we keep somehow getting pulled into it?
Yeah. And I think the other piece to it, you know, kind of as I started with the mission and hearing you state it, that hostage situation turned into a passion for me.
Yes.
Because, you know, it was already undergirded by my passion. It just happened that I thought I was checking boxes for my PhD and moving on to the next thing. And, you know, realized that it was birthed from such a sincere place because I grew up in the rural South in Batesville, Mississippi, right outside of Oxford, Ole Miss, and struggled as a kid into my adulthood. I still continue to fight and struggle with overweight and obesity, largely because I was the reader. I was the artist. I was the, you know, the performer and the musician in my family. So I often say I was the fat girl, the only fat girl in a family of athletes. I was the one who was least active. And so the work that I started with Play Like a Girl was really my own story, lived out loud, you know, through mission-centered work. And so it really fed me, I think, at the same time, which is what allowed me to stay hooked and to now, you know, 16 years later, still be doing it full time, never having received a salary, which is crazy.
Isn't that unbelievable? It is.
It's often I say a setup, but I really say to others who start nonprofits to guard against, because it is hard to undo the training of board members and donors and the public, that nonprofits are still a business and that nonprofits make profits to be able to do the work that they do.
Yes.
That you as the CEO or executive director have to be valued. And the way that we measure value in our country is often, yes, associated with currency. And so paying yourself, even if it is a modest salary, for as long as you can do so and still do the work of the organization is really critical, because, you know, you train people, you teach people how to treat you, how to value you and the work that you do. So I say that to say, you know, it's been some ups and downs along the way. The work is rewarding, but 16 years, you know, of doing this kind of work at the level of commitment that I have given it, at the level of excellence that we provide programming, and the number of girls that we have touched over that 16 years, to do it without any often appreciation can for some, you know, be a little bit difficult and create weariness, especially for the faint at heart. But luckily, you know, my mom built me a little bit different. She's 70 something years old and she's still doing, you know, servant work herself. So I got it naturally. And, you know, so it works out. But yeah, that's one piece of advice without you asking that I say to every nonprofit leader: value yourself enough to put a price tag on it.
And that's what's so hard in this industry. Everything you said, it's because you want that funding to go to the people you're helping sometimes, yeah, right? But you forget that you're part of that journey. Yeah. You can't give to others unless your cup is full.
Absolutely. Yep. And for me, again, 16 years later, I finally did it this year. And like my check every month is like $200.
But still, you're starting that right.
Exactly. And the way, though, that I saw it is, you know, I'm fortunate to live a lifestyle that allows me to give of my time as a gift to the organization and the girls that we serve. But I also realized that during the 16 years, now 11 years that I've done it full time without pay, I missed an opportunity, because the U.S. Department of Education will actually pay loans back. They will forgive loans for individuals who work for a nonprofit for 10 years or more. So that was a moment of, oh, I'll send you the details.
Thank you, please. Yes, I did not know.
A moment of reckoning for me, like, girl, you got to do something different.
What are you doing?
Although you're not building, you know, retirement right now, you're not building a savings because you're not getting a salary, there are still other ways that you can be benefited by the work that you do. And if it's just putting a minimum of $200 through ADP every month, you know, to substantiate that you're on payroll, do that and then reap the benefit, not off of the organization's bottom line, but off of the government, and get your loans paid back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. That's an amazing tidbit. And I need to pull back to something that you said that made me laugh, saying how you came from an artistic background. So I'm similar. My parents forced me to do golf in high school, and they're like, there's lots of scholarships in golf, Celine. And I'm like, girl, I am not good enough to play golf in high school with all these other like country club people. So it kind of pulled me back and drew me down, but I loved that artistic piece. Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about how you bring in your creativity into this world, this role and in this organization, and how do you push those ideas for the students and the young women that you're working with?
Yeah. Before actually being a scientist and conducting research of my own in the STEM space, I actually received my bachelor's degree in mass communication. So I always slant towards the creative writing, had an eye for art and design, love interior design. I've built several homes from scratch and, you know, just love every element of it. But in the work that I do, I took those experiences, those joys that I have in that area of my life, and have really used it to inform everything that we do. You know, many people, one, don't know that it's just, you know, me and Hannah, my assistant. We're a team of two on the day to day.
Unbelievable. And you need to go on their social, on their Facebook, on their website, and you will be blown away. So I love if you can also give us some tips on that, because it is astonishing the story you tell.
Yeah.
With two humans.
Yeah. So, you know, from the day to day operational side, it's just the two of us. But again, we are pushed and propelled by amazing, amazing volunteers, including our board of directors. So in the creative space, I'm able to use my skill set, one, in setting the direction of the brand, the look and feel, the visual effect that, you know, we bring through our website and through our social media. I work with a dynamic graphic designer, George Etienne, with 84studios.net. He does all of the graphics work, but it starts with my vision. Here's what I want to accomplish. And, you know, sometimes we go through, if it's a new project, you know, several iterations, maybe three at max. But generally, we've worked together now for almost 4 years. And he knows what I want before I even put words to paper. And we use Asana as a management tool for communicating projects.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. So George, you know, brings the vision to life, but the vision starts with me. So on the creative side, I am the, you know, the person behind the look and feel of the brand. From everything you write, everything you read, for the most part, I write it. Now we work with an amazing copywriter, Lena Anthony, here in the city, who really works with a number of our girls and mentors and mentees, board members, supporters, and donors to really capture their stories and now speak in a different voice. Because what I recognize is that, kind of to your point, so much of me was starting to come through in a lot of what we do, because I still literally run all of our social media. I write every caption. I do everything. And so, you know, I got bored with my own voice. So I had to put someone else in to help. But yeah, every element of creative that you see and experience of Play Like a Girl, I have been able to draw from skill sets that I've, you know, gained along the way, either through professional training, academic, you know, studies, or from just things that I enjoy.
And what is so fascinating, and I think what we need to celebrate more, is using those other other folks, right? Okay. Like bringing in help, bringing in volunteers, and feeling the freedom to let someone else take it, right? So that is hard, I think. And that's hard for all of us nonprofit folks, right? We understand our brand, we have limited budgets, but you found a way to bring people together and bring it to the next level.
And for me, you know, it was also about valuing myself. I value myself enough to build me a team, even though the bulk of the folks who work for us, and we have a real team, we have team meetings on Monday, just like most corporations do. Most of those folks are on contract. But that was important to me because I know that I can't do what I do well to the best of my ability if I don't have a team of folks filling in the areas that I don't do things well in, right? So, you know, from George to Lena, we've got actually one of our very first students who started with us in the fourth grade.
Stop it.
He is a college student and she is my intern this year. And I am super excited about Hannah Selders. She's amazing. She's in the art space. We wanted to bring a new and interesting voice to our social media and creating new and interesting content. So you're going to start seeing some lives and other things out on our social media, because what I recognize too is that I have grown older. I'm 45 now. You know, I was in my 20s at the time when I started Play Like a Girl. So a lot has changed, and we have to, as nonprofits, even keep up with the changing day and be willing to tell stories that resonate with our audience in ways that they'd like to receive information. And I recognize that with our social media. And so Hannah is now full circle working for the very organization that gave her a start.
Okay, that's fantastic. And bringing in interns is just, it's simple. And sometimes people think it's a little bit hard, right? Because you're bringing in someone new to the team that you have to do teaching. But that brings life and brings it something different.
Yeah.
And okay, so I need to bring up this point because I've done some research on you, and not every nonprofit can say that they've been featured on ESPN, correct?
Interesting. Just yesterday, ESPN hosted its New York edition of the ESPNW Women in Sports Summit, which is where I got my entry into the ESPNW family in 2014. So, yeah, you know, to be in the family of folks, you know, with the leading sport network in the world, you know, is fabulous. And in fact, that was a turning point. So October of 2014, a little bit before October, I received an email and subsequently a phone call saying, hey, you know, Toyota is one of our sponsors and Toyota has started this new grant program called the Everyday Hero Program. Mm. And so we are recognizing women who are, you know, doing amazing work in their local communities to really engage girls and keep them active in sport. And we learned about Play Like a Girl and would love to feature Play Like a Girl as an award recipient this year. And honestly, again, go back to our origin story. Until that very moment, that phone call and email, I never considered anything we did to fit into the sports space.
Wow. Okay.
I thought what we were doing was engaging girls in physical activity, because I came from public health.
Right. Okay.
Not an athlete. So I didn't identify. I didn't even, you know, yes, we had girls on tennis courts and we had girls, you know, strapped up in flag football uniforms and, you know, doing ultimate frisbee and soccer and all of these things. But for me, it was getting them and keeping them physically active mm-hmm. for the prevention of overweight and obesity so that they never deal with chronic illness. Never in my mind did I think of us, even with our name being Play Like a Girl, I still never thought about us as a sport organization. But when ESPN says you're a sport organization,
I am a sport organization today.
And that's what happened. And, you know, from there, honestly, that was the transformative moment for us as an organization, because the next year, ESPN at that same conference released data with Ernst Young, EY, and that study showed that 94% of women in the C-suite globally, 94% of women in the C-suite played sport, 52% of them through college. And so that was a revolutionary moment, because for me, that was a statistic that I could relate to, because again, it went back to the academic world from which I came. I was an academic, you know, I was a professor, I did research, I was a scholar. So, you know, being driven by research, I then came back to our board of directors and I said, hey, I think we're missing an amazing opportunity to really leverage sport for more, you know, as it relates to benefiting our girls.
Right.
I think we've been narrow in our vision and it's been great work and it's been meaningful work. But I think if we really, you know, take the limits off and think about connecting sport to lifelong success, and somewhere in the middle, there being a connection to an academic outcome such as STEM. And at the time, we didn't know what that outcome was going to be.
Okay.
I think we can position girls, one, naturally, if they're active, they're going to get the health benefit. So that's built in. But then we can align them with really strategic goals over the course of the lifespan, you know, specifically during their academic or educational pathway. And 2 years later, we introduced, with the help of and support from Gatorade and Google, our very first STEM and sport program. It was a camp here in Nashville. And we've been going full steam ahead ever since. And it has been just the most rewarding shift as an organization that, you know, I couldn't have planned better myself.
And that story is just so beautiful because you listened to your customers, you listened to the people that you were serving and to people who are willing to give you some kudos and some cash and fill a really big need. Yeah. And I read an article about the Sarah Fuller story. So can you tell a little bit about that, how that ties in?
You know, often, so I am a huge Oprah fan, you know, having grown up in Mississippi. Oh, yeah.
I was just listening to her podcast, Super Soul Sunday, before we got on. Yes. I am not lying. I love her. Oh my God. She's
one of my favorites.
A vision.
So, one, growing up in Mississippi, of course, you know, when she finally syndicated, everybody knew about Oprah. But for us who were from Mississippi, we related because she was like kinfolk to us.
Yeah.
And I've long been a supporter, but became an own ambassador when the network was, you know, kicked off several years ago. And so, you know, often I'm in conversations with one of my good girlfriends, Jasmine Stringer, who is also an own ambassador. And, you know, we'll talk about, you know, that competitiveness that's happening out in various industries among women, between women, and even, you know, the more general population. And often my response to her is, do you? You know, there is no competition. As long as you're doing you, you are uniquely and wonderfully made to do specifically that which has been assigned to you, whatever your purpose is in life. And what I found is doing just that, you know, doing this work, which I feel called to do, it has opened the doors and the windows, you know, of opportunity in ways that I could not have planned, orchestrated, you know, and devised myself. And the Sarah Fuller moment is honestly one example of so many examples of that. I had never laid eyes on Sarah Fuller. Never. I received, I was literally coming back from my home in Dallas because I kind of split my life between the two, was coming home from Dallas from Thanksgiving and received a text from my board secretary. And the text read something about some player at Vanderbilt and that she was going to be playing in this football game and kicking and, you know, the helmet thing. I glanced it. I've got a flight to catch, you know. Get off the plane in Nashville and walking through B&A Airport. And I'm reading now like a barrage of, you know, text and social media posts and all of that. And so that was an awakening moment. Like, girl, look, read, don't just plan, read. And I subsequently, after gathering myself and realizing, you know, this person, I reached out to Sarah in a DM on Instagram. And I'm like, what's going on? How did this happen? And she shared that she actually had visited our booth at a student athlete kind of vendor fair, like a career fair, several years before, wanted to intern at Play Like a Girl, but didn't have the opportunity to do so. And in thinking about, you know, again, organizations that she could help and could leverage her platform specifically to help, she thought of Play Like a Girl. And that's how she ended up, you know, wearing her name on her helmet and elevating the organization. And during that period, you know, I think it was late November, so probably mid-December, we had reported somewhere upward of maybe $17,000 was raised. And I would say, without being exact, we have probably amassed another $50,000.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. From those donations. So, you know, it's been an amazing thing to watch how, you know, social good, just the intent of that one random act of kindness towards someone else can have such a ripple effect. Out of that has come several apparel deals. So we have merchandise that is being So, because the beautiful thing is that I knew when we started Play Like a Girl, when I started Play Like a Girl, and when the name was chosen, mm-hmm. I knew we needed to trademark. So we have been trademarked this entire time. And so this created this now really interest and need for folks in terms of, if we're going to use this mark, we've got to, one, get permission, and two, we've got to pay these folks. So, you know, again, for a nonprofit, that's huge.
That's huge.
It's, you know, a small amount of money. And as I mentioned to you before starting this call, we're currently negotiating a national multi-year contract with a big box brand. Mm-hmm. And there's a merchandise deal on the table that's a part of that as well. So
unbelievable. And you, I'm sure when you were starting this, you never thought you'd be like, oh, maybe we'll be doing merchandise.
Yeah, right? Never, never. We have just this week, next week, actually, for the Indianapolis 500, you know, qualifying race next weekend, we will be participating as partners with Indy 500 and Money Lion. And they had the great idea to create an equality focused t-shirt, because this year is the first year that they will have a female forward, like all female team,
wow.
behind the scenes, in the driving seat, on the actual racetrack. And so really elevating the importance of diversity, equity, and inclusion, they chose to design a shirt to benefit Play Like a Girl, bears our logo, and wow. the proceeds are being donated to us. The same has happened with Bauer Hockey in the hockey space. It's just been amazing to see how, you know, both individuals and businesses are able to leverage their platform, their audiences, their networks, their resources, really to benefit a worthy cause. And it's not just Play Like a Girl. Folks are doing that for other organizations right. all across the country and the world. So it's just, I think, again, keeping your head down and staying focused in that which you have been assigned to do, that which you have signed up to do, is, I think, critically important, because it puts away all of the distractions from the work. And when you do your best work, it shows up in performance for you, mm-hmm. such that people are left in a position they don't have a choice except to somehow find a way to support what you're doing.
And those little decisions, right? Like those moments when you went to that career fair and Sarah met you, and those pieces, those building blocks, and committing to your mission, committing to your vision, and being there to show up and tell your story so people know it, so people know what you're doing and know the impact you're making, yeah. it pays off tenfold. And yeah. like you said, keeping your head down and doing it, having that resilience is not always easy. Startups, it feels similar in the startup realm, right? Because yeah. you're struggling, you're climbing uphill, and you consistently are climbing uphill until you get to that place where you're like, here we are, and you have those beautiful moments.
Something else about what you just said, I think that is also critically important, right? Is, I think for many of us, not just in the nonprofit space, but especially in the nonprofit space, when you've done your 9 to 5, because for us, 9 to 5 isn't always 9 to 5, right? Right?
Yes.
9 to 5, I get off and I go in, and especially now yes. that I'm at home, right? I walk across the room into the kitchen. I cook dinner. I do that mm-hmm. with the family. I watch a little something on TV to make the kids feel like I was present. And then yes. when they are down, I go back to this at 9 o'clock and I work mm-hmm. at night. So I'm really only having time for myself between midnight and maybe 5 o'clock when I really right. get and then start working from my phone. Now that's my reality. But what I realized is it's also important to give back to your supporters as well. So this week, you know, volunteer turned amazing friend for me, Julia Cole. She's a former athlete herself, who is a country music artist and songwriter. She had an album release party. It was imperative for me, one as a friend, but also because she gives and she does so much for women in sport and for Play Like a Girl specifically.
Yeah.
I didn't have a choice but to show up.
Of now, course.
Look, already tired from all of the Zoom calls. Absolutely. You know, for mm-hmm. every board member who has moved on and, you know, and they're growing their families or, you know, something amazing is happening in their lives, it is important for me, even if it's just a text message, to reach out and say, hey, you know, I celebrate you. How are you doing? How have things been? remember their mama's name. Okay.
Right.
You know, how is Lucy? You know,
how would she?
Names, you know, because people, all people, and you know this from Oprah, mm-hmm. all of us want to feel valued. We want to feel celebrated, heard, and seen. And for me, that is so critical to nonprofit work. If you're going to be successful at whatever level, however you measure success, you have to learn the value of people. A dollar, it starts with a person. It starts with a person. And when you remember that that person had to go out, sacrifice their parent, their families to actually make the dollar, like, you know, to show up for your people all the time because they show up for you. And so that is really important for me because, you know, again, in the frustrations of the work, you know, often as the nonprofit leader, when you're talking to your board, you're really reporting often on all the things that are going wrong, and you're never celebrating the things that are going well or the people who are responsible. So it's those, I think, little things along the way that help to really reaffirm for people that you still are, you know, one who sees the value in them and you celebrate them.
Okay, where else is there even to go? Like, that was just a mic drop moment. I am stunned. That was just so inspirational and beautiful and just so clear and concise. Because we do the work, like show up. You have no other choice but to show up and do the work.
Yeah. And you started by saying something that has been important for me from the start, which is why now we're hosting a golf tournament next month and I'm golfing and maybe can call myself an athlete after that. and that is living your mission. Like you have to invest everything about who you are and what it is that you say you are mission focused on in order to get folks with equal levels of commitment to buy in and support in the same way. So work, what scripture says, charity starts at home and spreads abroad. And that is true, that the love we have for the work that we do really starts with us. And once we make it contagious, everyone else catches on easily and the work becomes that much lighter.
So what advice would you give to someone who's looking to start a nonprofit or that's working in a nonprofit and maybe need a little bit of that inspiration or that push? You said so much today, but like, what would be one sentence you'd give them or some like a resource?
Yes. I started with don't.
No, talk to them.
For the person who, again, you know, you are focused on not leveraging nonprofit status for things that, you know, it shouldn't be leveraged for. And you truly are focused on doing social good for the benefit of humankind and even animals and the planet included in that. You know, the one central piece of advice that I would give is, again, value yourself, put yourself on the agenda, you know, start your day with you. That has been a practice for me that has really been elevated because of the pandemic. You know, the first 6 weeks were like a honeymoon period, like, oh my God. And then the reality set in of, oh my God, we've got to go back and do programming and figure out how to do this in a digital space. And, you know, it's been a constant repivoting, but it allowed us, or at least I can say for me, it allowed me the opportunity to slow down and even stop for a period of time to reassess what is important in my life. Because one, I'm a mom of, you know, boys. My boys are 17 and 19 now. My oldest was, you know, watching his senior year crumble and then started his freshman year in college in New Orleans at his dad and my alma mater, Xavier University of Louisiana. So it has been, you know, important for us to be in tune to the changing phase of life for us, even as parents, having been married 21 years, you know, it feels like yesterday, the stories that I've shared with you from, you know, how we started and when we started. But the reality is, I've raised babies. I've raised real grown people now, and I've lived a full life in 21 years. So I've got to now think about what's next for me,
right,
but also what's next for Play Like a Girl. Mm-hmm. So by putting myself on the agenda, you know, I gave myself every morning the first 15 minutes of my day.
Oh, if, I love that.
Yeah. If it's nothing more than meditation or prayer or music or just stillness, it is for me like an absolute non-negotiable. After my first 15, you know, if I should choose, most days I take a really long walk in my neighborhood just to be one with nature. I listen to my favorite podcast and, you know, have like the best of time. I don't take phone calls.
Brilliant.
I don't take phone calls during that time. Because, you know, a lot of folks have, you know, talked about how they're able to manage taking a phone call while taking their walk or doing. No, it's my time.
Right.
And that may work for you, but it doesn't work for me because for me, that first few hours of the day is really critical in me being able to perform to my greatest. And so it is, I think, something I've learned, not learned, something I've applied much later in my life, that I see the value for a new nonprofit leader to start from the jump. And that you value yourself enough to put yourself first on your agenda every single day. And if you don't get past the 15 minutes, that's okay. Tomorrow, right. You know, add another 15, whatever the amount of time is, the principle is value yourself enough to put you first.
How can we help support Play Like a Girl? Where can we find you? Tell us what we can do to be there.
Well, you can find us anywhere out on the net as well as social media at I Play Like a Girl, which for us is a declarative statement. Our formal legal name is Play Like a Girl, but we want people to know that we play.
Yes.
So iplaylikeagirl.org is our website. On social media, every place on social media, it's I Play Like a Girl. And, you know, I encourage folks, you know, summer is here. Kids are getting ready to be released from school. And while most of the country has been in the virtual environment, I really encourage families to get out together, you know,
play, right?
Get some play in your life, go out and really allow the sun to return, you know,
yes,
its favor to you, and really live up this opportunity that I think we've grown more appreciative of. To connect with other people and start right there with the little people in your life, teaching and modeling for them what it means to play like girls.
I love it. Thank you so much, Dr. Kim. Thank you for all of your inspiration, your wisdom, your insight. You're wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Storytelling with a Purpose. Huge shout out to our friends at Memory Fox. Make sure you're following them on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It will keep you updated with all of our upcoming episodes and give you some great resources, tips, and insights for all of us looking to make a difference in the world. Now, as Dr. Kim said, get out and play. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review us. Thanks for tuning in.